and Samuel. Samuel was the last judge. Okay. Now, the book of Samuel was before called the first book of the Kings. If you have an old King James Bible, you may find that. The first book of the Kings, the second book of the Kings, the third book of the Kings, and the fourth book of the Kings. That's what it was called before. I asked you about Barak. Do you know who Barak was, or Barak? Who was Jephthah? Well, let's read our text out of Hebrews 11. And we'll read these two verses only. Hebrews 11. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness toward us. Thy word says, O Lord, oh, praise the Lord, praise Him, all you people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, is great toward us. Oh, dear Lord, thank you for saving us, and thank you, Lord, for allowing us this time to be in your house, O Lord. Such a blessing. Such a blessing, O Lord, to gather with my brethren and open this book and see what you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you, Lord, for the church, this building, O Lord, that keeps us from the elements. We know it all comes from you, Lord, and we thank you for it. We likewise pray tonight, Lord, for my dear brother Nemorio and the new work begun there, Lord. I'm excited. I am excited, O Lord. Why, Lord? Because you have provided the means for us. And David blessed you and said, it all comes from you. We give, Lord, what comes from you. And he says, thine is the greatness and the kingdom and the power. Lord, thank you for allowing us to participate in this great blessing of sharing, O Lord, thy goodness. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us, O Lord, to participate in sharing, O Lord, the good news. These areas that, Lord, we don't even think about it, but they don't even speak Spanish. Lord, they're in the mountains, and Lord, there the gospel is now being preached. And we want to thank you. We will ask, Lord, that you please strengthen my brother Nemorio and his wife Marcy. You also be, Lord, with Luis, as he might have to translate for my brother Nemorio. You be with the church there in La Luz, Monte Olivos. Bless my brethren, Lord. I thank you for each and every one of them. I remember Brother Francisco, Lord, and his work. I pray for him, Lord. I pray you also use him, Lord, to help in the teaching of your word. Lord, also we pray for those that are sick in our midst, for Sister Vicky. Lord, I pray, be with her, Lord, and help her. Thy word does say, Lord, that you heal all our diseases. Oh, Lord, that you, oh, Lord, care for us. So we call upon you, Lord, for her. Others, oh, Lord, that may be sick tonight. I know that Lord Diana wasn't feeling well also. We pray for her. Lord, help those that are weak. Strengthen them, oh God. And Lord, tonight as we speak, I know that there's some little ones here, Lord, that don't know you. I pray thy word may be used to save their souls. Thank you again. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. So when we come to this portion of Scripture, you know, so far the writer has really made it easy for us. Why is that? Because he's given us names and he's given us their deeds. Or better said yet, how their faith worked, how it was active, what they did because of faith. It's been easy. It really has. I mean, we had to go and look because, as we know, some of us maybe don't know the Old Testament. Some of us are not Hebrews as they were accustomed to perhaps hearing these stories So we have to go back and look at some of these stories, right? But we learned a lot. But now, again, the writer comes to this point, and he mentions these names. He mentions Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. Now, if you pay close attention, they're not in the chronological order you find them in the book of Judges. They're not. For Barak comes first, then Gideon, Jephthah, then Samson. Samuel comes before David. Remember that? As a matter of fact, Samuel is the one who anoints David to be the king. Remember that? Now, as you look at this, I think the writer does this. I don't know. He doesn't say why. He doesn't say why. Let me speculate. I think he does it because the first ones he mentions, that is Gideon, Samson, and David, are better known. Their names are well known. And even this morning when I asked you about the second set of names, you know, you're like, some of you are like, well, maybe I have, maybe I haven't. I think maybe that's why he did so. But now, if you notice, you know, he mentioned Samuel, but he left out Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. But I think he makes reference to them. And I want to look at verse 33 briefly tonight and see what he means by who through faith subdued kingdoms. Who subdued kingdoms in the Old Testament? I think here he refers to Joshua. You know, they conquered this land of Canaan. And I love what the writer of Joshua writes for us. Because if you look at verse 33 in Hebrews 11, he says, not only did they subdue kingdoms. And again, I love that word, subdued. It made me think of another word in the book of Jude. But the word is, again, they agonized, if you will. They agonized. They subdued kingdoms. Wrought righteousness. Now, what does that mean? Wrought righteousness. Who obtained promises? Now, okay, I'm gonna ask you again. Okay? Who can tell me who stopped the mouth of lions? Who hasn't read? It seems like a children's story, right? Who stopped the mouth of lions? I'm gonna ask the little ones. Who? Who stopped the mouth of lions? Do you know? Yes. Who did? Anybody know? Any little one? Oh. No one knows? Do you know, Ellie? Who did? Excuse me? Samson. Well, we can say Samson. Samson, on his way, on the road, a young lion meets him, right? But Samson, what he does, he takes the young lion and he tears his jaws, right? Very good. Who else? I don't know, you're going to make me think. Becky. Who? David. Very good. When David is before the king, Saul, he reminds him that one time, he says, a young lion or a lion came and took one of the little sheep. Remember that? And he smote the lion and also the bear. Who else? Erica. Daniel. I think that's what he means right here. I don't doubt he may mean those other two. Again, see how the writer of Hebrews doesn't tell us. Doesn't tell us. So now it's he's made it easy for us so far, but now this, and when you go read some commentaries, you go read, you know, some people say this is the hardest part of Hebrews. Because now he leaves it up to us to go back and do a diligent study. Who is he referring to? And it could be, little Ellie, it could be, you know, David. It could be Samson. It could be Daniel. Because when Daniel was in the lion's den, Brother Reuben, it wasn't the three Hebrew children. It was Daniel. His confession was that God had what? Shut the lion's mouth. Amen? But what about verse 34? Let's keep on reading. Before I come back, it's a good exercise. Who quenched the violence of fire? Who did? Destiny, help me out. You know also? Wow. Who quenched the violence of fire? Yes, ma'am. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Very good. The three Hebrew young men. Where at? The book of Daniel. Very good. Very good. Now, verse 34, let's read again. Out of weakness were made strong. Now it gets a little bit harder, right? Remember, this is through faith. This is through faith. And the writer is doing this, beloved, to encourage us. To encourage us. He says, this is how the faith or faith operated in them. And I'm going to give you an example. He says, what shall I say more? Do I need to say more? He says, I don't need to say more. I've given you a list. I've given you a big list and what they've done. But just in case, I'm going to give you more. This is what faith does. Now, these judges were not perfect, as we read this morning. Gideon was not perfect. He was fearful. Remember that? He questioned some things. As a matter of fact, I didn't look at this morning, but, you know, the angel of the Lord appears to him. And he says, God is with you. And he says, if God is with us, then why is this happening to us? Why are the Midianites come into our land? Why are they robbing us if God be for us? Why is this happening? See, I didn't touch that this morning. The next man we're going to look at is Barak. But hold on. First, who was made strong out of weakness? Gets a little bit harder, doesn't it? Who, Brother Paul? David. We could say David. That could fall in there. Who else? Samson. Who said that? Samson. But Brother Joe, I thought he was the strongest man on the earth. He was. He was. But what happened to Samson? He lost his hair. More than lost his hair, he lost the Spirit of God departed from him. Remember that? The Philistines took out his eyes. And there he is holding the two pillars and he asked one more time that God would strengthen him and avenge him of all his eyes. But before that, he slays how many Philistines? How many? Anybody? Go back to Judges. How does he slay them? Nobody read Judges? Nobody knows about Samson? Becky. I'm sorry, everyone. Okay, that's when he slew all the Philistines. Yeah, he threw down. But before that, he slew other Philistines. How did he do that? Erika. ¿O dilo en español? La quijada de un asno. The jawbone of an ass. But he became weak. And he asked God to strengthen him one more time. And what does God do? Out of the hollow of the jawbone comes out what? Water. And he drinks water and he strengthens himself one more time. Out of weakness, we're made strong. See, we don't know. See, when we look at this, we say, what does it mean? I thought he was strong all the time. No, he wasn't strong. As a matter of fact, you go read Samson. He's not strong all the time. Yeah, he has physical strength, but he has weaknesses. He has weaknesses. His greatest weaknesses were strange women, the Philistines. Now, who acts valiant in fight? Paul. David again. Amen. That's a good answer. Amen. Because he is. How about one of the kings? Anybody? One of the kings. Because remember, he said Samuel and the prophets. Oh, now it gets harder, doesn't it? Reuben, help me out. Just one. All I need is one tonight. Are you the Merian? Who waxed valiant in fight? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's not even go to a king. Let's go to the son of a king. His name is Jonathan. Him and his armor bearer. Remember that? Where do you find that? You've got to go back to the book of Samuel. Who turned to flight the armies of the aliens? My point is this, that maybe the Hebrews were accustomed to these stories, that for us, you know, they're like, well, I don't remember, Brother Joe. And that's why at the beginning of the year, remember I asked you, I said, I encourage you. I challenged you. And it's not, you know what? If you haven't done it, you can start right now. Read your Bible. Begin again. Begin at Genesis. Cover the entire Scripture. Because these are not just children's stories. You know, these are men, again, that we might have hope and comfort through the Scriptures. You know that? That's what they're there for. I love reading these stories. So they subdued kingdoms. Now, what about wrought righteousness? What could that mean? I got two scriptures out of here. And let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 8, 2 Samuel 8, and verse number 15. Who executed righteousness? Who wrought righteousness? David. You know, Brother Paul, I was picking on Brother Paul because a lot of these apply to David. But not only David, you know that? Look what 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 15. He says, and David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. There was not a king like David. We can also read about this in 1 Kings. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 and look at verse number 28. This is the next king, Solomon. What does the name Solomon mean? Does anyone know? What does Solomon mean? Peace. Peace. It comes from the Hebrew word shalom. Peace. During the reign of Solomon, there was peace. David had fought all the battles. Remember that? David had conquered all the kingdoms. And now he had rest from all his enemies. God gave him peace. His son Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28. Listen what happens here. Now, do you know the story here, what happens? Let me rehearse it for you. There's two harlots. Each have a son. What happens? One of them dies, an infant. I don't know what, doesn't tell us how they die, but in the morning they rise and one infant is dead. The other one's alive. So they come to King Solomon to decide whose son is it. Is it this woman or is it this one? Because they both claim is their son. Solomon says, bring a sword. And again, I'm paraphrasing. Cut the child in half. One of them, her vows are moved and says, no, let her keep the child. The other woman says, neither mine nor hers. And Solomon immediately finds out whose baby it is. It was the woman who wanted to keep the child alive. Now look at 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28. And all Israel heard of the judgments which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do what? Judgment. So they worked judgment. They did righteousness. But is that it? Is that all that means in the book of Hebrews that they brought righteousness, that they acted rightly? No, it's not. Because Joshua was also instrumental. Psalm 149. What happened to these nations that Joshua conquered? Why were they driven out? Anyone knows? Why were they driven out? Where were the Canaanites driven out? I don't even have so many questions tonight. Yes, I do. Why were they driven out? Ryan? Their wickedness. Their iniquity. Is God going to close a blind eye and let the wickedness grow and continue? I mean, I know it sounds hard, but it was mercy on the rest of the inhabitants what God did to these people. Psalm 149 tells us this. Verse number 6. Psalm 149 verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. Sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. Dishonor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Sounds hard, doesn't it? Sounds hard what the psalmist says here. But Joshua again, and I think when the scripture says that he wrought righteousness, I think he's referring primarily to Joshua. Because he also obtained the promises. Joshua 21. Joshua 21. My daughter and I, Pearl, have had a good discussions concerning this verses that I'm going to read to you. Joshua 21. Notice what he says in verse number 43. Joshua 21 and verse 43. It's interesting that some people say we should take the literal historical interpretation. And I say, amen. I have no problem with that. Do you? No. That we should take the meaning as they would have understood it in the Old Testament. Do you have a problem with that? No, I don't. So when these verses come up, she sent me like a 10-page essay where they say, this doesn't mean what it says. I'm like, oh, come on. Why is it that when it comes to the literal, historical, contextual meaning, and it goes against what they believe, they say it doesn't say what it says? I'm like, come on, give me a break. Be consistent. Just be consistent. Because this is what Joshua says, 21 in verse number 43, he says, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. Is that simple to understand? I mean, let me ask a little one. Ellie, is that easy to understand? When God, he says, the Lord gave unto Israel all the land. How much land did he give them? Is it the same? Do you think it says most of it or all of it? It says, that's what it says. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their land. Now look at verse 45. Look what it says. Now let me read it. There fell not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. Look what it says. All came to pass. You know what their argument is? It says, it didn't all come to pass. And that's still their argument today. And they go back and they argue from the covenant made with Noah. Anyhow, that's a side note. That's just me. I'm saying, wait a minute. I'm just going to believe what the Scripture plainly declares. Right? Amen. What's the point? Again, who subdued kingdoms? David. The judges that we mentioned. Who wrought righteousness? Solomon. David. Joshua. Who obtained the promises? Joshua, Caleb, others that are mentioned in the book of Joshua. Who escaped the edge of the sword? Who escaped the edge of the sword? Who wants to enter into that one? David. He did. Not once, but many times. But I want to look at two examples. The first one is Elijah. And we find him in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19, we find Elijah. There's two that I want to mention because these men are well known. Elijah and Elisha. And we're going to read more about them as we continue in Hebrews. We're going to hear more about them because the next one, verse says, women obtained some or brought back from the dead. You know, and I look back and I'm thinking maybe I haven't looked at it more deeply. But I'm thinking, well, how many resurrections are they in the Old Testament? Does anyone know? How many people were brought back from the dead? Now I can think of three now. Pauline, can you help me? Did you raise your hand? How many were brought back from the dead? I know at least three. Who was involved in them? These two, Elisha and Elijah. But yet the writer of Hebrews doesn't even mention them by name. He just says the prophets. But you know, by faith they also escaped the edge of the sword. 1 Kings chapter 19 comes Elijah. He just defeated all the prophets of Baal, but he runs from Jezebel. And you know what happened? You know, he commanded a widow to feed him. Remember that? And he's fed by that widow. But now he also flees. And look at chapter 19. Verse number 5, he says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? See, he thinks he's the only one left. So what's the point here? We see his faith. You say, well, there's no man like Elijah. There's no man like Elijah in the Old Testament. There's no prophet like him that did these miracles. I mean, fire came down from heaven, Brother Joe. I mean, he wasn't afraid of, and as we read this morning, remember, he shut down heaven. I mean, none of us have done that. Have you shut heaven? I haven't. He did. That's great faith. But at the same time, he fears for his life. And now he thinks he's alone. God has to reveal to him. He says, I reserve for myself 7,000. And they haven't bowed the knee to Baal. They haven't worshipped Baal. This Elijah. The second one is Elisha. Second Kings. And again, we're going to read about these two men. Elijah and Elisha. By the way, they're the only two that I know in the Old Testament. Again, you can correct me because I don't know any other ones, but I can be corrected. Who resurrected someone from the dead? You say, wow. You know, Elisha has a double portion of the Spirit upon him. He asked for that. Look what happens in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 31. Well, let's begin at verse 30. There's a famine in the land. And what happens if we read again, verse 29. Says, so we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked and behold, he had sackcloth upon his flesh. Verse 31. Then he said, God do so and more also to me if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. He's going to cut his head off. Verse 32. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him, but ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "See ye how this son of a murderer had sent to take away mine head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, "Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer?" By faith, he escaped the edge of the sword. So now we know why the writer of Hebrews says, time would fail me. Time would fail me. If I were to include just David and the prophets. But I think also he has in mind, beloved, the people of his time. Because in Hebrews 11, again, turn to Hebrews 11. We're going to close up this evening. He says in verse number 36, he says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings." Hebrews 11:36. "Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment." I think he has in mind the New Testament believers. Because that's what he said in chapter 10, in verses 32 and 33. He says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were eliminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used." So that's why I say he does a masterful job from Genesis all the way to the New Testament era. He covers this great cloud of witnesses. Now, we're not even going to get to Barak tonight. Who is he? Well, he's a general, or he's a commander. I can't figure out what he is. I don't know if he's not a judge, or he may be. I don't know because it doesn't say. But who was the judge during his time? Anybody know? She's the only woman judge. What's her name? Becky. Deborah. Now, Reuben's already in Micah, but Isaiah mentioned something about women ruling over my people. I think it's Isaiah chapter 3. She was a prophetess. She judged Israel. Her name was Deborah. But remember what we read this morning, the context of Judges. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I think it was a sign of judgment. God giving them a judge. But God uses her as an instrument to call Barak. This man, again, this is a general. And he has to be called by this woman. Remember, how did he call Gideon, the angel of the Lord? How did he call Samson? Well, from the womb, right? But these two judges, Barak is called by a woman prophetess. And Jephthah, have you ever read of Jephthah? You ever read of him? Who knows what he did? Anybody know? Why are you questioning us? Because I want you to use the gray matter God gave you. What about Jephthah? ¿Levantó la mano, hermano? ¿Quién era Jefté? ¿Qué hizo Jefté? Anybody? What did he do? Ryan, ayúdame. He vowed a vow. He made a vow. Now, does God approve of that? No. That's why I said, You're going to find faults with these guys. You're going to find numerous faults. He made a rash vow. He said, if God deliver the enemies into my hand, I will sacrifice the first thing that I come across or comes before me. His daughter comes dancing to receive him. She's joyful because he has the victory. But it's a sad day for Jephthah. But through faith, see, isn't that something? Look at that again. Look at verse 32, Hebrews 11, 32. What was the message that Brother Job preached here out of the book of Judges one time? You all should remember that one. Because he uses titles. What was it called? It was a big man. Oh, what was it called? What was the message called? When Lefty gave it to Fatty. When Lefty gave it to Fatty. Why isn't he mentioned? Why isn't he mentioned? What about the other judges? We have 15 judges. Because this man, Jephthah, is like one of us. It's like one of us. Barak is like one of us. Did God give victory to Barak? Yes, he did. With 10,000 men, he defeated the enemies. He fights against the king of Canaan, Jabin by name. Now, does Barak get the honor from this? Does anybody know? No. Who gets the honor? Becky, help me. Who gets the honor? Ryan? Who gets the honor from this victory that Barak has over the king of Canaan? Help me? Who? You're gonna remember as soon as I check and say, oh yeah, Becky. No? Eric? Ryan? That one. That's it. What's her name? I don't know. It tells us what her name is. But I know what she did. Here comes Sisera, the captain. He's tired. And she comes and he comes into the tents of this woman. He says, give me to drink. What does she give him to drink? Warm milk. He falls asleep. And as he falls asleep, what does she do? She takes, yes, one of the stakes from the tent and drives it through his temple. She got the honor, not Barak. Why? Because he had to be called by Deborah. God delivered him. And God promised he would use him. And God did use Barak. God had commanded him to go. But he had to be told by Deborah. And because he had to be told by Deborah, he did not get the honor. That's why when we look at this list, he is after Gideon. That's why Jephthah is after Samson. Amen. Well, we're going to continue this, Lord willing, next week. Let's stand. I hope I challenge you. I hope you go home and say, you know what? I want to immerse myself in this. I want to know this book. I want to know what he says. Why did these men, why did these women, Why did this little girl in the book of Kings have such faith? Why did this little maid, why was she not afraid of the king? Why would she tell her master if she would just go down to the prophet that is in Israel, he would be healed? Her faith. Her faith. What about the Ethiopian, Brother Reuben? Did you miss that Ethiopian in the book of Jeremiah? You know, there's people mentioned here. There's so much here. That's why he says, and what shall I say? There's so much more I could give you. But I've done enough. That our faith may be settled and established. And again he goes on and says, we have such a great cloud of witnesses. Now let us run the race with patience. And we're going to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. See, that is, of all these examples, he says, I'm going to give you the best example. Jesus. The joy that was before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Know that? He did that for you. Now, you have all this clout. And I'm going to give you the author of their faith and my faith too. Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your Son. Praise His name. Blessed be the name of our Savior. Lord, we've learned so much from this book of Hebrews. And Lord, I know that all the books ultimately point to your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that He was not ashamed to call us brethren. Thank you, dear Lord, that He despised the shame of the cross. Thank you, Lord, that He endured the cross. Thank you, dear Lord, that there was joy set before Him in bringing many sons into glory. Thank you, Lord, for, as the writer said, what language can we borrow to thank you, dearest friend? What language could we borrow? We want to worship you. Or we want to bow before you. And just confess, O Lord, that we're not worthy of the least of your mercies. We're not, O Lord. We're not for sovereign grace. We're not, O Lord, for you calling us, redeeming us, O Lord, giving us life. Oh Lord, where would we be tonight? Where, oh Lord, would we be gathered? What would we be doing had you not reached down from heaven, oh Lord, and saved us? Now, Lord, we understand that these are just men, and Lord, you write plainly for us. Not, oh Lord, to cast us down, not that, oh Lord, we may be discouraged, but on the contrary, that we may be encouraged that it was you that worked in them. It was you that kept them. It was your grace. It was sovereign grace. Sovereign grace that kept these men and these women and these little ones. Oh Lord, sovereign grace that preserved them, oh Lord. It was your electing grace, oh God. And we want to thank you tonight for the encouragement we find in these words of the Apostle Paul. Now Lord, help us. Because our faith, oh Lord, like them, you know, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. Oh Lord, we're not David's, we're not Solomon's, oh Lord, and we're not Moses. Lord, I think most of us are, oh Lord, like, as it were, Jephthah's and Barak's and Peter's, oh Lord. That's at least, Lord, I can. That's who I am, oh God. I'm not Paul, oh Lord. We probably all be called rightly Thomas, O Lord, doubters. But yet, O Lord, you have put your Spirit within us. And as Paul said, we have the same spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. So I pray, Lord, help us. That may that fruit of the Holy Spirit, Lord, the fruit of faith abound in each one that calls upon Your name. May that fruit abound. Strengthen it, O Lord. Strengthen our faith. Lord, as we come across so many different things and difficult things in our lives, O God, we do, Lord, in our families, in our works, O Lord. There's so many difficult situations that come before us as they came against these saints of old. And Lord, and really there's no comparison. Because we haven't been fed to the lions. We haven't been put to the fire. Oh Lord, we haven't had to fight great battles, oh Lord, that is physical. We haven't. Help us. We are Thy children. We are Thy sons. We are Thy daughters. And we need Your help, oh Lord. Strengthen the hands. Lord, I pray. Strengthen the knees, oh Lord. Strengthen them. Lead Your people, please. And Lord, please bring us again this Wednesday night with a heart that is prepared and ready to meet with You. Bless You, Holy Father, and Jesus, Your Son, we pray. Amen.